growing up in college, etc., I've always had a great fascination with military history. I studied, focused on that, and studying history as my major in college, studying the Civil War, the American Revolution, World War II, admiring some of the great generals of those wars. Well, the readings today speak of a great cosmic battle that is taking place all around us. In the gospel, Jesus speaks of it vividly and of his own mission to engage our ancient foe, the devil, to gather God's elect back from the enslaving clutches of Satan, who was a murderer and a liar from the beginning. That as Jesus approaches Jerusalem for the final time, he describes the battle that is about to unfold. It's a battle that he wins at the cross and resurrection. It's one whose parameters extend across time to our own era. That though the victory is ours, we can only lay hold of it by clinging to Christ and walking with him. That the text from Hebrews, our letter from Hebrews, gives us a kind of battle plan. Let's begin first by considering Jesus' description in the gospel of the cosmic battle, and how his great mission as that great shepherd of sheep and the Lord of hosts. That he begins by saying, "I have come to set the earth on fire, and how I wish it were already blazing." The fire is powerful, it's transformative. Fire gives warmth, it makes food palatable. It also consumes and destroys. That nothing goes away fire unchanged. The Lord has come to purify us, and by his fiery power of his love, his grace, and his word, he has a passion to set things right. But purification is seldom easy or painless. Hence the image of fire. That in this great cosmic battle, fire must be cast upon the earth. That it's through that fire, that having that fire, not only to purify, but also to distinguish. That there are things made pure, but only if things are burned away, reduced to ashes. That this image of fire is important because many people today have reduced faith to seeking enrichment and blessings. That faith surely supplies these, but it also demands more. It demands that we take up our crosses and follow Christ without compromise. That many, if not most, enrichments and blessings come only through that purification, through that fire of God's grace, which burns away sin, purifies us of our adulterous relationship with this world. That therefore, Jesus announces the fire by which he will judge and purify this earth and all on it, describes it as a blaze that must set the whole world on fire. That this is no campfire around which we sing cute songs. That Jesus describes it in such terms to rescue us from the power of the evil one. That the battle is engaged and we must choose sides. That if you think you can remain neutral or stand on some middle ground, there's news for you. That which side you're really on. That there is no third way given. You're either on the ark or you're not. You're either letting the fire purify you or you're being reduced to ashes. You're either on fire with God's love, with his grace, or you're not. That the choice is ours to make. Jesus' passion to set things right. He has come to set fire on the world. The next, Jesus goes and says, "There is a baptism with which I must be baptized, and how great my anguish until it is accomplished." In coming among us, Jesus does not merely come to get us out of trouble, but to get into trouble with us. That though sinless, Jesus takes upon himself the full weight of human sinfulness, manfully carries it on the cross. That he accepts a baptism in his own blood on our behalf, though he is sinless himself. Then waging war on our behalf against the evil one, Jesus does not sit in some comfortable headquarters behind the front lines. That he goes out on point, taking the hill of Calvary, leading us over the top to the resurrection glory. that he's one of those great generals that I always admired, being out in front, willing to risk himself, willing to take those wounds, to die for us, to lead us to that victory, that he endures every blow, every hardship on our behalf, that it's through his wounds we are healed by being baptized in the very blood he shed in this great cosmic war. That's a painful path he trod, and he speaks of his anguish in doing it. But having won the victory, he now turns to us and invites us to follow him through the cross to glory. The choice to follow is ours. And in this sense, the cosmic battle continues, as Jesus describes in the verses that follow. That in words nothing less than shocking, the Lord says, "Do you think that I have come to establish peace on the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division." That the words shock, but they speak truth that sets aside worldly notions of compromise and coexistence with evil. That in order for there to be true peace, true holiness, and victory over Satan, there must be distinction, not equivocation, clarity, not compromise. The fire and water do not mix. You hear the conflict when they come together. The hissing, the popping, the searing, the steaming that happens between the fire and water. That one must win and the other must lose. That compromise and coexistence are not possible. That the Lord said that he came not for peace, but for the sword. In this, there's kind of an analogy with a surgeon's scalpel. That the surgeon must wield this sword to separate out the healthy flesh from that which is diseased. That coexistence is not possible. The diseased flesh must go. That the moment one talks about coexisting with cancer, the disease wins. That were the doctor to take this stance, he would be guilty of malpractice. That when there is cancer, the battle must be engaged. And thus, in this great cosmic battle, the Lord cannot, will not tolerate a false peace based on compromise and on accepting coexistence. That he's come to wield a sword to divide. That many moderns do not like it, but Scripture is clear. There are sheep and there are goats. There are those on the Lord's right and those on his left, the just and the wicked. There is the narrow road to salvation and the wide road to damnation. And thus the Lord speaks to us of a cosmic battle in the valley of decision. That Jesus is one and it is time to choose sides. That even if a family member rejects us, we must choose our Lord. That the cosmic battle is engaged. The fire is cast. The sword of the Spirit and God's words is being wielded. That the Lord has come to divide the good from the wicked, the sheep from the goats. And if this be the case, how do we choose sides, practically speaking? Having chosen sides, how do we fight with the Lord in this cosmic battle? Help him in his victory. That's for this that's helpful to turn to the letter to the Hebrews in today's Mass, which summons us to courage and constancy. Let's examine three prescriptions in this letter for a soldier in the army of the Lord. The first, lay hold of the proof of faith. The St. Paul begins, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. What do witnesses do? They testify to what is true, to what they have seen, what they have heard, what they have experienced. That if you go look at the previous chapter of Hebrews, we're given a litany of witnesses from the Old Testament who learned to trust God, that were rescued from ungodly men and innumerable snares. That individually and collectively, they stand before us, summoning us to courage, to declaring that God can make a way out of no way, that he can move mountains and deliver his people, that he has the summons, that anything he can do, anything, he will not fail. That thus we have to learn to listen, trust in their testimony, respond courageously to the summons to battle, to choose the Lord's side, knowing that the Lord has already won the victory. To the litany of the Old Testament heroes can be added the innumerable number of saints in our Catholic Church who can speak to us of victory, who summon us to faith and courage. That we can think of a priest who's not yet canonized, Father Vincent Capodanno. He's born around 1927, loved his faith, went to Mass as a child every day, as a teenager, as eventually a young adult, was ordained a priest to the Marian Order, sent off to be a missionary in Taiwan. That during that time, he discerned that he was called to serve as a military chaplain and became that chaplain for the U.S. Marines. That he went with those Marines to Vietnam, served alongside them, ministered to them, gave them the sacraments. That eventually in a battle, in an ambush of the Vietnamese laid on those Marines, he saw a corpsman hurt. He himself, already wounded, rushed off to see that corpsman, to give him the anointing of the sick, to give him the last rites. In the midst of doing that, of giving that corpsman the last rites, he himself was struck with bullets 27 times and lost his life. That yes, there is the cross, but the resurrection always follows. That one day, hopefully, his cause of canonization will come to fruition. That he will be known as a saint in our church. The second, we need to live the priority of the faith. That St. Paul tells us, let us rid ourselves of every burden and sin that clings to us, and persevere in running the race that lies before us while keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, the leader and perfecter of faith. That St. Paul goes and gives us the example of a runner in a race. Well, what does a runner do? He runs the race. The runners don't stop along the way to watch television, to make small talk with friends. They don't make stupid detours or go in the opposite direction. They do one thing. They run the race. And so too with our faith. It has priority in running that race to Jesus. That nothing should be allowed to hinder us. The runners also know where the finish line is and what the goal is. That we know what our finish line is. We know what our goal is. Our goal is that of heaven. That is our finish line. That the runners keep their eyes on the prize and with single-heartedly pursue that goal. We need to single-heartedly be pursuing the goal of heaven. That no extra baggage is carried that would hinder them or weigh them down. And so it must be with us. We must have our eyes on Jesus. He and the glory he offers are our goal. That every step must be towards him. That all that weighs us down or hinders us must be set aside. That increasingly our life is to center on one thing, on one goal. Let Christ be that center. Last is to end through perseverance to the faith, of the faith. The St. Paul says, consider how Jesus endured such opposition from sinners in order that you may not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood. That it's not enough just to answer the call to Jesus, to be baptized. That it's necessary to persevere, to live out this faith. That in the cosmic battle, Jesus says, at the end of time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other, that many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. That's the promise he made to us. In persevering to our faith, we will be saved. That in a cosmic war like this, endurance to the end is essential. That we must make it over the hill of Calvary with Jesus unto the resurrection. That victory is promised. And we must make the journey. Make it with Jesus. That scripture says, Now I would remind you, brothers of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, by which you are being saved. If you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. That, okay, it's a tough Sunday, but it's a real Sunday. That this is real Christianity, and the only faith that can save. That the gauntlet's being thrown down by Jesus, wanting us to accept it, to carry it up alongside him. That he describes this cosmic battle and moves forward manfully to vanquish our ancient foe. But then he turns and he says to each and every one of us, follow me. Hear the proof of faith. Make it your priority. Persevere unto the end. That at the end of the day, there will only be two groups, the victors and the vanquished. That we know by the outcome of the faith that which side is the winning team. So why not pick it? That the battle is engaged, and we simply need to pick sides.